Loved, cherished, comforted. Welcome to the podcast ministry of Our Resolute Hope, where you will find grace, not just a concept or a doctrine of grace, but a person whose name is Jesus, a person who brings hope, a determined, resolute hope that can sustain you and empower you to live courageously in this fallen world. Join us now as we learn more about Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our life.
Dear ones, thanks for joining us today on the Our Resolute Hope podcast. John Russin here, serving as the sort of a host with my friend, Pastor Frank Friedman. And together we just sort of plow through topics. How are you, my friend?
Doing pretty well, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. It was rainy and cold here in Southern Arizona yesterday, so a bicycle ride with my grandson got postponed. Good thing, because it actually sleeted on us here. So
Wow. An
unusual thing, but not where you want to take an 11-year-old boy, that's for sure. But today, Frank, we are continuing our conversation on aspects of a believer's identity. And we've talked about saints and slaves and servants and sons and heirs. But I want to change gears a little bit today and pick up another word that isn't really mentioned very much in Scripture. And in fact, I don't think I've ever really heard a message on it in a church. It's the word ambassador. And so we all think we know what ambassadors are. They're official envoys of the highest rank, sent from one country to another to represent the home country. And as I poured through the New Testament, I found it, Frank, in only two places. One is Ephesians 6, where Paul calls himself an ambassador. And the other in 2 Corinthians 5, where he calls us ambassadors. And if I can take a moment to read from the NLT, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. And this is where I want us to start today, my friend. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. And so because of what God did in Christ to reconcile the world to himself, we are now given the task of being ambassadors, representatives, to bring the message of reconciliation to the world. So that's an interesting description to make a child of God, isn't it, Frank? It actually kind of gives us a job description, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, John. You know, when I was listening to you define that, we're Christ's ambassadors. We are not ambassadors of ourselves. It's not our agenda, our way, our will, our method. It's his. And we are representing him. And that is a huge responsibility and a mind-boggling thought. We are representing the kingdom of God. We're here in foreign territory. This is not our home, this world. We are citizens of heaven, it says in Philippians. So we're here as aliens, foreigners. We're here on a green card, if you will. Ours would be a red card, the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're coming to the kingdom of darkness. We're coming to the kingdom of the enemy. And so we have a very sober responsibility to live well, to think well, to talk well, to behave well, because that kingdom is watching us. And as they watch us, we are representing Christ. And we dare not go rogue, or we'll fail to represent him well. That's a huge thought, John. But you know, I never functioned in that kind of a capacity in terms of the political earthly realm. But because of your job occupation, you had quite a bit of time with ambassadors and representatives of other countries. So I'd kind of like to throw it back at you and say, what are some of the things you learned as you ran in those circles?
I must say that I don't recall ever hearing an ambassador making a harsh, critical, or condemning statement. One particular circumstance comes to mind. This was toward the end of my career at LSU, and I was invited to lead an entourage from my university to a reception at the Embassy of Hungary in Washington, D.C. And in attendance, not only were members of the Hungarian embassy staff, but also embassy staff members from all the other countries with which we had partnered there in Europe. We had Russia, we had Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and of course, Hungary. So the room was filled with all these political appointees, embassy staff, and then the ambassador from Hungary stood up to give a speech. And he gave him a speech that sticks with me, Frank, to this day, as to exactly what an ambassador should be and how an ambassador should act. When he spoke, let me take a moment to give a little bit of background. At that particular point in time, we had an administration in our country that was rather combative. There was a lot of political conflict in our country. Also in Europe at that time, there were refugee crises and countries were fighting over how many refugees to take and who's making the right decision, and barbs and bombs were being thrown in every direction. But this ambassador stood up in the midst of that political maelstrom and he did, Frank, an amazing job of simply presenting how great it was to live, work, and do business in Hungary. He had one focus, and this is what really stuck with me. He wanted to make Hungary sound as attractive as possible so that if I were a citizen or a businessman, I would want to make my home in Hungary too. In fact, I said, wow, wouldn't it be great to live in Budapest, even though they have one of the world's most difficult languages to learn, simply because of the picture that the ambassador presented. He didn't kick any anthills, Frank. He didn't diss the fellow who was in the White House less than a mile away. He didn't diss any of the other national leaders. He just lifted up his home country, Hungary, such a way that he even made me want to move there. Of course, I ran it by Terry and she poo-pooed it really quickly. But when I think of ambassador, Frank, that's what I think of. I think of us boldly standing forward for Christ and doing the best job we can to represent him as clearly and concisely and invitingly as possible. Jesus said, you don't have to convince anybody. You just have to lift me up. And I will draw men to me. This is what he was doing. He was lifting up his home country and letting everyone in the audience make their own decisions. This has actually changed the way I look at evangelism, Frank. It really has. When I think of how I've seen evangelism carried on in the past and then how I saw this particular gentleman represent his home country, it really made me do a double think of what's my life like? How am I lifting up the kingdom in which I am a citizen? Wow. It was pretty sobering, my friend. It really was.
John, I'm just listening to you. And of course, my mind reflects on, of course, you're speaking of a government ambassador. And while you're talking, I'm thinking of the Christian community. And when I heard you, I couldn't help but think that's not how a lot of the church does it. A lot of the church points fingers, attacks the world, the sin, the condemnation, the guilt, the shame. And it's interesting. If he had criticized the government leaders of America, even though the Americans themselves might not think highly of where their country's going, when you criticize my country, it's my country, and I'm going to get defensive. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so he didn't do any of that. He lifted up, like you said, Hungary. And you know, John, that verse, you quoted it. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. And I find that especially even in the grace community, we are spending so much time speaking against that we're not speaking for. We speak against the church. We speak against the law. We speak against so many things, pastors who teach the law and all those kinds of things that we're not speaking for. We spend a lot of time talking about what we've been delivered from, but I think we neglect teaching what we've been delivered to. And in that sense, we could very easily miss the power of the person of Christ because we're so focused on what is not Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. People often know what the church is against much more than they know what the church is for. And that's an error we all have made. You know, Frank, we don't realize, you know, when we go out there, we're in the middle of a spiritual war. Colossians 1 is so clear. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Let that sink in. We were citizens in the kingdom of darkness, and he rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay, so we're no longer citizens of that kingdom of darkness, but boy, we live in it. And every step, every word, every thought, every action is really pushing back against the darkness. And I myself have been far more cavalier over the years than I think my mind is leading me to act now into how I behave, how I present myself, realizing that there's a war out there and I'm in the middle of it, whether I realize it or not. So this idea of us being transferred into a kingdom is exactly like this embassy staff person. He's got to represent himself in the middle of a potentially hostile foreign country. Got to walk a very tight line. There's not a whole lot of room for this particular ambassador's personal persuasions or preferences. It's the message of the king, message of the leader. It's a message of our king is all that really matters.
Yeah, it's interesting. You quoted a passage that not only talks about being delivered from, but being delivered to.
That's right.
That's the gospel. It's not just we run around going, boy, I'm free from. We've got to lay hold of this idea of we got free from so we could be free to. Free to Jesus as our King. John, as I listen to you continue to talk, you mentioned the idea of opposition between countries. I don't remember exact words you used, but it made me think, even though you've got all those countries and they're attempting to work together, they're ultimately about their own kingdom and serving their own kingdom.
Very much so.
And I have to believe that even though there's a welcoming, that there's also a sense of distrust. You have your guard up when an ambassador comes to you, like, what are they really up to? And so it's on the part of the ambassador to win them.
Yes.
To build trust, to be a person of integrity, so that what he's representing can be trusted. Am I right on that?
You are dead on, my friend. And I want to use that as a springboard to take us back to a passage that I really found ministered to me when I was thinking about ambassadors. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, where Paul writes to the believers there, hey, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you God's plan. I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, Paul writes, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Frank, when I read this passage from 1 Corinthians, it says to me, wow, Paul learned the hard way that when he comes to an area and he's an ambassador, his only message is, let me tell you about my king. Let me tell you about my home country. Nothing but plain, simple, honest speech nothing pretentious, nothing boastful, nothing judgmental, only helpful. Wow. It's really sobering to me, Frank. It really is.
Why don't you run with that a little bit, John? Because this is a marvelous insight. You mentioned 2 Corinthians as well. And he said, we are ambassadors. Well, the we includes the Corinthians. And they were the most mixed up bunch in the New Testament.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's a great point, Frank, because he calls himself an ambassador. He says, we're ambassadors. But he says it to Corinthians. It's interesting. Being the word geek that I'm becoming, more so every episode, I begin to look up, well, what exactly is the Koine Greek word for ambassador? And Frank, it's the word presbuo. And it's from the very same root that we get the word elder in the New Testament. And so it gives the impression that, well, only the oldest and most seasoned and most mature and most trustworthy people should be elevated to the level of ambassador. And honestly, in the world, that's largely true. But not so in the church, because he turns to the Corinthians. And as you said, they probably win the prize for the church with the biggest bag of problems. He says, hey, guess what? Guess what? You're an ambassador, you know, no matter how you've lived or the choices you've made at any given point in time. When you walk in the Spirit and you lift up Jesus, you can be as effective as an ambassador as the most mature Christian you can possibly imagine. What an encouraging promise, my friend. We don't need to receive tons and tons and tons of training. Not that there's anything wrong with the training in evangelism, but you know, some of the most convincing messages I have received from people have just come from their heart in the spur of the moment, as the life of Christ just came out of them and really reached out and touched me. So this is encouraging, because I can be an ambassador, Frank, if I've only been saved for 10 minutes. That's amazing.
As you know, we're working on a new devotional, and I believe one of the articles is, what is Christian maturity? Because the church tends to think along the lines of the world. In the world, we become mature with age, with training, with knowledge, with years. But in the church, I've seen people who are 70 years old, who've been Christians for 60 years, and they've got a lot of Bible in their head. They've gone to a lot of conferences, and the way they live, it's like a gigantic nursery with a bunch of babies. Hmm. Duration and knowledge is no guarantee of maturity. And that's a weird thought for us to lay hold of, but here's the way I would say it. Christian maturity is instantaneous at the moment of abiding. And I would tie that into John 15. If you are living from the Christ who abides in you, his life, the vine life, is flowing through you as a branch and will bear much fruit. And it's instantaneous. But if you abide in Christ, but go looking for life in other than Christ, you are not drawing from him, and the vine life gets stunted that is in you, and you will walk in immaturity. So Christian maturity is instantaneous at the moment of faith. In the moment of faith, you have the entirety of the life of Christ flowing through you. That's a hard thought for us to come to grips with, but it's really true. He told the Corinthians, man, you were reconciled to God. Walk in him, walk in that life, and you will be an ambassador used to reconcile others. Huge paradigm shift for us.
It certainly is. And what an encouragement. What an attaboy. What a pat on the back to motivate us to trust our Father's life in us to come out and speak the precise word at the precise time to whoever needs to hear it. Wow, what a promise.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, John, the thing that just popped in my head was John 21. we think sometimes that if we fail, boy, I can never be an ambassador again. And John 21 is such a beautiful passage for us, where we have Peter who failed three times in the worst way, denying the Savior at the moment of his greatest need. And John 21, Jesus asks, hey, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Hey, do you love me? Yes, but I don't like where this is going. And then a third time, do you love me? And Peter says, oh, he did it. Peter failed three times. Jesus asks him three times. You know, when I look at that, my first thought is to say, what happened to he remembers our sins no more? But that wasn't the issue. The key is every time Peter said, I love you, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, here's the key. What had Peter been called to do before he failed? Feed the sheep.
Feed the sheep.
What is Jesus threefold now telling him? You're still my guy. You're still my guy. You're still my guy. You may have chosen to get your eyes off of Christ and done something really stupid with some horrible consequences. Instantaneously, you walk with faith in Christ. His fine life is through you. And you're still his guy. You're still his girl to function as an ambassador. Mind-boggling.
Well said, my friend. Well, as we begin to wrap up, I want to close with just a couple of general observations that I've picked up while watching all these ambassadors over the years, and then I'll flip it to you and you can comment on that and close us out. The first lesson is that if we are ambassadors, we must understand the line of authority. You mentioned earlier, we can't be going rogue, and that's very true. We've got to represent our Father, our kingdom, our Lord, as clearly and honestly as we possibly can. We leave the decisions to Him because it's His authority. The second observation I made, Frank, is that generally ambassadors don't really have that much of a say into where they're placed. They are placed where the leader of the country thinks they can do the most good. And so from that, I draw that we need to be content where our Lord places us. You know, we don't always have a choice as to what our circumstances in life are, but He places us there as His ambassador for a reason. And it is indeed the best possible place for us, even though we might not like it. And finally, we got to trust the one who chose us and sent us out as ambassadors. Sometimes we can feel uncertain when we step out and we want to proclaim the truth and be a representative and an ambassador for our country. We can afraid we're going to stumble on our words, feel uncomfortable, not sure what to say. But Father God has promised us that He will speak through us, because it's not us who is speaking, it's Him through us when we walk intimately with His Spirit. And so He will give us the perfect words at the perfect time to say or not to say, depending upon how His Spirit leads. And so when I bundle all these up into one, I think that to be an effective ambassador, we need to have an intimate, braided relationship with our Lord and Savior, and that His life will flow through us to others in however He chooses to do it. So with that, my friend, wrap us up.
That makes you take a deep breath and say, like Paul did, who is sufficient for this? I mean, it's mind-boggling that the likes of us are the representatives of God to this fallen world. And John, I guess the one final thought I would have is this, as I'm just reflecting on this idea of an ambassador. He serves, she serves for a period of time. They have a tenure. And for all ambassadors, there comes a time when your service is over and you're called home. And John, the longer I live, the more I feel like I don't belong here. You know, I recognize I'm representing a foreign kingdom and I'm a citizen of a foreign kingdom. And this isn't my home. And I look forward to the day when the King says to us as ambassadors, your tenure's over. Come home. Well done.
Well done.
Enter into your rest.
Well said, my friend. Well, friends, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Our Resolute Hope podcast. We invite you to check out our website. You'll find us at ourresolutehope.com. Spend some time there, look around, and if Father leads, there's a donate button at the top of the page. We will thankfully receive whatever you happen to send our way, again, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And while you're there, you'll find lots of resources, articles, devotionals, ebooks, etc., all centered on the very fact that Jesus Christ is our very life and that his life alone through us empowers us to be ambassadors. And of course, we close with the same reminder from Hebrews chapter 6 we use every single episode, that no matter what we're facing and how frightening the circumstances might be, we're not loose floating in the sea. We're anchored. We're anchored in Christ. Peter calls it a living hope. My goodness, Paul calls it a blessed hope. And that anchor, that hope, is Jesus Christ. So today and always, choose hope and choose Jesus.
Thanks for listening. We trust that you've seen Jesus today. And you know that no matter what you're facing, he offers you himself, his own life. He wants to live his life with you, in you, and through you, as you trust him and walk by faith in this troubled world. You've been listening to Our Resolute Hope podcast. For more information, find us online at ourresolutehope.com and check out our social media channels under the name Our Resolute Hope.